Carla?
Yes.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Portland City Council meeting. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Welcome, everybody. We're going to have some procedural items here. If Carla reading the three ordinances, make some opening remarks, then we're going to take up the business-related ordinance number 46 first. So, Carla, would you please read all three?
Item 46, create the Portland Street Fund and establish a non-residential transportation fee to fund Portland street maintenance and transportation safety needs. Item 47, establish a residential transportation income tax to fund Portland street maintenance and transportation safety needs through the Portland Street Fund. And item 36, direct the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services to research and report to Council on the feasibility of applying a local income tax to income earned in Portland by individuals who are not residents.
Great, thank you. So let me reset the context for this. It's been some weeks since the Council worked on these issues, and of course we've had 14 months of community conversations about transportation revenue. That is, of course, part of a much longer timetable. If you haven't read the audit, which we received in the second month of my administration here in February of last year, called Street Pavement, Condition Shows Need for Better Stewardship, I would recommend going to the auditor's website and doing that. I think all of my colleagues have seen this audit before, but I brought copies just in case anyone needs a refresher. We've all seen it. Again, I would encourage you to take a look at that audit because that was really the foundation of this work. You can't see the details from here, but you might see the direction of that graph from repaving a little over 200 miles of city streets in 2001-2002. That had declined to 30 miles in 2011-2012. Last year, we got that back up to 100 miles, which we're happy about, but we are very, very far behind, hundreds of millions of dollars behind in street maintenance and street repair and safety improvements that our city needs. So that's the context for this. Again, if you haven't read that audit, I would encourage you to do that. We have a lot of work to do this evening, so I won't speak much longer than that for now, but I'm going to call on Commissioner Novick for any opening remarks that he has.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, as probably most of you know, the subject of discussion tonight will be somewhat different from what we thought it would be a week ago. What we were going to do tonight is have the initial hearing on a new user fee proposal. And I hope that we have some discussion of that proposal tonight because it might be one of the things that we send out for an advisory vote. The new user fee was going to look like this. We know from national statistics that people who make more money tend to spend more money on gasoline. The people in the top 20% of income consume about four times as much gas on average as people in the bottom 20% of income. So taking gasoline use as an indicator of road use, we thought we could have a user fee that varies by income to the extent that gasoline consumption tends to vary by income. So the proposal is people in the lowest income quintile would pay $3 a month. People in the second quintile would pay $5 a month. People in the third quintile, the middle quintile, would pay $7.45 a month. People in the fourth quintile would pay $9 a month. And people in the top 20% would pay $12 a month. That's the proposal that the Portland Tribune endorsed in this morning's paper. And I'd ask people to think about that proposal because what we're going to do for the May ballot is send out several different proposals. We will send out a progressive income tax, and I think that we'll send out something pretty close to what Commissioner Fritz and I discussed recently. We will send out a version of a gas tax, which I hope will make people happy who come here to campaign for a gas tax. And I think that we will send out some form of user fee. So one of the things we ask people to address tonight is, if there's going to be a user fee on the ballot, should it be something like what we proposed in May, or something like we just described, or something else? So this whole evening is not going to be focused on this particular proposal, but I do want you to think about the proposal. And with that, I think that we can
call
turn things
Waltz
over to Jamie.
Yeah. Ms. Waltz, come on up and talk about the proposed amendments on the non-residential ordinance, please.
Jamie Waltz with Portland Bureau of Transportation. The majority of the amendments, or all of the amendments for the non-residential transportation fee, are not substantive in nature. We basically were switching out the term tax for fee based on the substitute ordinance that we were going to be putting forward. We also made some clarifications. We added a whereas clause to clarify that the three elements or factors for the non-residential transportation fee were based on number of employees, annual gross revenue earned within the city of Portland, and square footage. We also made a minor change to the eligible use of revenues just to emphasize that projects, the number of projects that would be constructed, are based on the available resources, depending on what the net revenue would be. And then for the actual table that appears in code that helps describe where somebody falls within the different fee categories, we made some changes to the way that the numbers were shown in terms of square footage, gross revenue, employees, just to make it easier for people to determine where they land within one of the five categories.
Okay. Questions for Jamie? All right. Thank you very much. So now we're going to take action in a few minutes on adopting these amendments. Again, it's our intention to first address those amendments and then go on to the residential potential revenue measures for residential ratepayers later in the evenings. So is there anyone here who's here to speak specifically and only on these amendments to the non-residential ordinance?
So, okay. Yes. Mr. Mayor, I guess it was my understanding there was going to be language that would also say that the non-residential portion does not take effect if there is not a residential
tax. There's another way to do that, which is what I intend to do, which is at the conclusion of this hearing, I'm going to refer this item back to Commissioner Novick's office.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to adopt the amendments, make sure this piece of legislation is completed as far as the council is concerned, and then return it to his office.
So it won't take effect until and unless there is a residential portion of a user fee or tax.
Correct.
Okay. Or we wouldn't actually vote on it.
So it certainly wouldn't take effect.
Correct.
So again, Mr. McCullough, come on up if you want to testify on the amendments to the non-residential ordinance.
Madam Clerk, I gave you some materials for the commissioners.
Thank you.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, it's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
Good evening.
As before, I would like to apply for two additional minutes as a representative.
Put your name in the record, Robert. Yes, you're here on behalf of Southeast Uplift, so we'll certainly allow that.
As you know, I'm new to testifying. I apologize. Robert McCullough, President, Southeast Uplift. If anyone does not have these materials, raise your hand. Fine.
Thank you.
And I'll ask your indulgence for the half minute, given the...
start the clock? Yes. Sorry about that.
I'm not worried
about
it.
Against you.
I have one preliminary issue. It's very quick. As you know, we have received materials from PBOT. That was a struggle. Ended up in court. We had a settlement with City Attorney Thatcher. That's been performed on. We see no reason for further litigation. We're hoping the city does not. We have sent such a letter. In fact, we brought our lawyer in case you all want to smile at him, James Neal Baxendale.
Okay.
Basically, transparency is part of what the Neighborhood Association process is about. We also paid some $2,000+ for three small spreadsheets. We've asked for that to be waived and returned. Our understanding is those were in existence. Only a few columns were redacted. That's fine with us. So that makes it easily the most expensive spreadsheets known to man. Again, all of our dollars are used for community purposes, and so money taken from us simply are taken from the people. So, to the issue, my comments tonight are operational. I'm wearing my green eye shade. I decided not to wear a green eye shade, but they are specifically on the non-residential portion and the implementation of the non-residential portion. As you know, we've been through the proposed legislation in detail. It has a variety of operational issues. It will be difficult to collect. It has issues with overestimation and also issues with equity. On the equity issue, it's a simple one. The staff used a sample of businesses from the city to derive the share for each type of business. We focused on transportation because, of course, Portland is a transportation hub. That sample of businesses was 52. The 52 businesses were a scoping study. They were preliminary. They clearly were never checked. It came immediately to mind that the Paramount Tattoo Parlor does not do much trucking. We also believe that Volunteers of America doesn't do much air transport. We're fairly certain the resale shop in Northeast Portland does not do much railroading. In point of fact, the major transportation entities were not included, and erroneous entries were. What this means is that the weight of the taxes got misallocated, and unfairly. Medical is now too high, transportation is too low. Now, we're going to have some time now before we get there, and so we would comment to Commissioner Novick, it's a good time to send your staff back. Let's certainly clear the poor tattoo parlor out of the transportation sector. But I would also recommend that we put Delta Airlines and the Union Pacific Railroad back into the transportation sector, even though I like Delta Airlines. So then to the serious operational issue. The revenue forecast as developed is 100,000 firms. Unfortunately, it's also full of errors. Among those errors is the largest single employer in the city, which is, of course, the All's Well That Ends Well Colonic Cleaning Company. Three women who run it, very fine. I asked their permission to use their name. I think in the interest that no publicity is bad publicity, I find myself discussing colonic cleaning for the first time in my career of 35 years. I brought forward to Exhibit D, this is directly from your proposed legislation, you'll notice two red arrows. Now what's happened here is because the scoping study used the wrong employment data and we presume analytically the wrong revenue data. The column the firm was in was wrong. They're placed in column C, which is for a mid-sized business. However, they only have three employees. They, in fact, have a small office next to the very well-respected lawyer, Cynthia Comfer. It is probably not 40,000 square feet as covered in the study. Now, what this means operationally is that we will not be recovering $20 million. Moreover, we know that the problem is pervasive rather than simply an example. When you go through the study, we discovered that there are 2 million jobs in the scoping analysis. That's 8 times the actual number of jobs in the city. This means that the vast majority of your columns, Commissioner Novick, will be wrong. And it means that your revenues will be wrong. And what it also means is you won't collect the money. Let me close on one note. Each one of these entries, thousands of incorrect entries, will now have to be litigated and checked. So if we look to the Ross Island Cement Company, which we all know well, hundreds of trucks, they only have 7 employees. So you're going to have to pursue them to get their revenues up to the appropriate level. So the good news is the ladies with their colonic cleansing are being cleaned out. The bad news is that Ross Island Cement apparently is scampering away with the goods. Thank you very much, Mayor and Commissioners.
Thank you. Appreciate you bringing this forward. Obviously, there'll be time now, and obviously call on you as a volunteer to work with Thomas Lanham, who's here from the Revenue Bureau, and Commissioner Novick and the staff from the Transportation Bureau to iron out any of these methodological questions before we take this back up.
And Mr. McCullough, you'll be happy to know that all of us associated with the Transportation Bureau, our first New Year's resolution was spend more time with Robert McCullough.
I want you to know I have never had so much fun working my tail off over the holidays for no pay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for your diligence in looking into these things.
You're welcome.
Okay, anyone else that wants to speak on the amendments to the non-residential ordinance? If not, and then if there's no objection, then I'm going to return that ordinance. I'm sorry, we do have to adopt the amendments first. So let's adopt the amendments, and then I'll refer it back. So roll call on adopting the amendments.
I'm sorry, who moved and seconded?
No.
I move that we adopt the amendments.
Second.
I'll catch up to myself here procedurally. Eventually, it's been a long day. Okay, any further discussion? Now a roll call, please, on adopting the amendments.
Fish? Fritz.
Sorry. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, thank you very much. And then I'll refer ordinance number, item number 46 back to Commissioner Novick's office. Okay, now we'll start work on the residential question. Let's see, do we have amendments? So Commissioner Novick's already explained the latest version of the residential funding proposal. That is one potential measure that we will send for voter review in an advisory vote that we plan to conduct on the May ballot. So therefore, what we are doing tonight is asking people to come before the council and comment on that as one of those potential candidate measures, and to recommend any other measure that you would like your fellow citizens to call pass judgment on. As Commissioner Novick said, some of the ideas that we've discussed over the last 14 months include a fee-based approach like this. We've also discussed an income tax-based approach, as he's described. A lot of people came to our public hearings and recommended that we consider a city gas tax, as opposed to the state and federal gas taxes, which already exist, that we should consider a city gas tax as one way to pay the bills. And there are other ideas as well. So tonight's session is focused on the question of what are you for, and what would you like to have your fellow citizens pass judgment on? That is the only question before us tonight. If you're concerned about how we spend the transportation dollars that we already have, I urge you to come to the budget session for the Portland Bureau of Transportation that will be held later this spring. That is not the subject of this evening's hearing. If you don't like one of the measures, I urge you to campaign against it and convince your fellow citizens to vote no when that option is presented to them. The sole purpose of tonight's hearing is to hear what people are for and what they would like to have their fellow citizens look at and consider. One way or another, according to our auditor, we should be spending about $75 million a year more on street repair and improvements than we are today. One way or another, that's the bill that we have to pay. We hope that the Oregon legislature will increase the state gas tax this session, and that some of that money will, as it always does, flow down through a formula to the city of Portland. That will solve part of that enormous problem. The rest of it is up to us. The business or the non-residential ordinance that you just heard us discuss and put on the shelf for now will raise about $20 to $23 million a year. It is the goal for the residential side of this equation to be roughly equal to that and to also raise $20 to $23 million a year. So we are looking for ideas that would raise that much. And the proposals that you heard Commissioner Novick describe would be capable of raising that kind of revenue. So we're interested in things that are practical, understandable, and explainable to our fellow citizens. They will go out in an advisory ballot, which we haven't done in the city of Portland before, but which is done actually quite often in other cities like Seattle. They seem to like that approach. We're going to try it. And we don't have to have every legal or technical issue completed to ask people what they think of an idea, but we have to be able to describe it for example, a gas tax. We have to be able to tell them that a gas tax for the city of Portland that would raise about $23 million a year would be this many cents. And actually, I don't know that number yet, but we'll need to know that number before we send it out to the voters. That a fee would have to be in a range of, say, $3 to $12 per household. We believe that that would raise about that amount of money. Or that an income tax at such and such a rate and such a graduation schedule would raise about that much money. There are ideas that have been suggested to us which are understandable in their concept but are impractical in their effect. For example, a number of people have suggested that we tax bicycles. There, you would have to charge thousands of dollars per bicycle in order to raise $20 million a year. And you would also have to collect that, and I would say good luck with that proposition. So we're looking for things that are doable and sufficient to the task and that can be explained to our fellow citizens in a few sentences. So we've got a few ideas, and we're here to ask for more. Again, if you have concerns about how the city of Portland is spending its transportation dollars today, those concerns are legitimate, and there will be a public forum for you to air them. It's called the budget hearing, and we do it every year. If you have objections to one or more of these ideas and think it's really a terrible thing, you will have the opportunity to go door to door or otherwise convince your fellow citizens that it's a terrible idea. But what we're asking you for tonight is what you're for and what you'd like to promote and suggest as a practical way to solve a community problem that we all own. We own the streets. They're the biggest asset we have, and half of them are in poor or fair condition, and they're declining. So we've got a big problem to solve, and we're looking for ways to do that. With that, Commissioner Novick, you have any other comments before we open the hearing?
Just two things about potential options I wanted to mention. I haven't heard many people call for a sales tax, but obviously that's something other places have. We have good reason to know that it would be a highly unpopular proposal, but I'm interested in if people think that's something we should put on the ballot anyway. And also, the property tax is something that I haven't heard much about in these forums, but I know the Oregon editorial board has been promoting it. So I'm curious if people think that a property tax mechanism is something that we should explore as well.
Thank you. Other council comments?
So, just logistically, my understanding is that you're planning a Tuesday the 20th evening hearing.
If council's available that night.
To actually have a hearing on a proposal. So we're not planning to refine a proposal tonight. There'll be something that's identified that will be published that the council will then vote at that later hearing on whether or not to refer it.
That's right.
So there'll be all the specifics of when. I mean, you're planning to refer it for the May of 15.
That's right. And it'll be that week. If council's available the night of the 20th, that was my preferred time, because I have to be at the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and I'd have to phone in for a council meeting on the 21st or the 22nd. So I'd prefer the 20th for that reason.
So tonight is your opportunity to give us suggestions about what you'd like to see. If that proposal moves forward, the later hearing will be to decide whether or not to actually move forward with it.
Okay. Other questions or comments? With that, then I believe we have a sign-up sheet, and we'll take the first three. Now, we have how many people do we have signed up?
We have 27.
27. Okay. We're going to ask you to please try to keep your comments brief. Again, we're asking for a succinct proposal of what you would like to see on the ballot. So details are, you don't have to have everything figured out, but we want to hear what your idea is.
The first three are Robert McCullough, Gary Sargent, and Craig Rogers.
Robert McCullough, Southeast Uplift. I've spoken before, so I'll be mercifully brief. Southeast Uplift requests that one option on the ballot be no.
It'll be available on each of these items. So the question is what item Southeast Uplift would like to see.
And that we will work on and get to you. The answer to your question is each penny brings $2 to $3 million if applied to the full set of fuels. Thank you very much. It's my anniversary. I'm going to leave you for a much more beautiful
person. Please do.
Person.
Tell Karen we apologize for diverting you temporarily.
I am certainly will. Thank you very much, Mayor. Thanks. And Commissioners.
Happy anniversary. And to clarify, therefore, the proposal is not to list a bunch of things and say pick one. The proposal is to refer a bunch of different questions, of which the answer will be yes or no.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
Somebody could vote no on everything.
Right. Gary, good evening.
Oh, yes, on everything.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Gary Sargent, and I run a business. My 40th year as president of our small business out in Southeast Portland. I also serve as vice president of the 82nd Avenue of Roses Business Association. In regards to these proposals, what I think that a key component in any of the proposals out there needs to encompass, how do you bring in the people that are using our roads that are leaving at night and going to Clackamas and going to Hillsboro and going out to Troutdale? How do you incorporate those people into it? Mm-hmm. I've thought very hard about that, and the only way to do that is through payroll, some kind of a payroll contribution, if you will, for lack of a better term. I am ecstatic at the fact that you're willing to work with Robert in regards to some of these discrepancies. But I also read the streetcar audit. And as a businessman, I know we're going to discuss this, but there's a lot of things that need to get put back in order financially to gain back the citizens' trust to pass anything through a vote. And I just urge you to heed what the auditor has said in regards to the streetcar. And I have these highlighted here, but I realize that you've set some ground rules, Mr. Mayor. So
I appreciate that. Another, payroll tax is an interesting idea. I'm not sure if we have the legal authority, but it's a good thing. We'll go check.
If they work in Portland, they're driving to Portland, they're using Portland roads.
No, I understand, but there are some taxes where the legislature has preempted our authority to collect them.
Well, Mr. Sargent,
I'm not sure.
No relation to Sergeant Towing.
No, don't you even go there. No.
To dispel that. Dan, sorry about your car. Is the model that you would ask us to look at the TriMet model?
Well, it has to incorporate how you can get people that are using the roads that live somewhere else. Look, you're asking the citizens of Portland to pay for the Selwood Bridge. Most people that live in Clackamas are the ones using that. They turned down that $19 per year registration fee. So you have to think about how can you incorporate those people into the equation, and I think then you will and regain the trust. PBOT has serious issues in reading that audit financially when there's discrepancies in accounting to the point to where it also states by your auditor that it violates state law. That's very concerning as a businessman to read that. And anyway, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate this suggestion. We will go investigate that and see if whether we have the authority and what the rate would have to be in order to raise the revenue. It is what TriMet primarily depends on. It doesn't mean only they could use it if it's legally possible. I think theirs is now 0.6% of payroll, and that's the major revenue source for TriMet. Is a 0.6% payroll tax, which you pay and every other business pays. So good point. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Good evening.
Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for this opportunity to share with you what I'm for. So
Put your name in the record again.
Oh, Craig Rogers. Thank you. It's been a fair amount of time, observing, participating, and this moving forward. And I hope I never see the day where a policy is developed that is a tax that does not have a vote, an oversight, and a sunset as this originally did. I think that there was an incentive to make it as good as it could have been because it wasn't intended to be passed by the people but by city council. So what I'm for, and I hope I never see it again, where that happens. What I'm for is that from this day forward, we have policies, we have taxes that are voted by the people rather than council, and that there's a real oversight in a sunset. I think that's very important. Never has it ever occurred in the history of Portland where there was a tax passed other than by the people who were to be taxed. And I want to say that I think the money needs to be responsibly spent that is garnered here. In fact, more than just for transportation, that I wouldn't want to be the person who tells a mother that's living on these 56 miles unpaved street with no sidewalks that we can't put a street in front of your house or a sidewalk because we just gave $8 million to Mercedes-Benz for a parking facility. So I think we need to kind of bump it up and think about the big picture, where this money's going and how it's collected. And I just want to thank you.
Okay. Do you have a revenue mechanism that you'd like to see on the ballot?
Thank you for asking, Charlie. Offhand, without looking at the details, I'd say gas tax.
Okay.
So, Mr. Rogers, you said that there shouldn't be a tax without a vote of the people. This is an advisory vote. So once then the council reviews the result of it, would you then expect whatever the proposal would be to go back to the ballot to be approved by the people?
Yes, I would.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Thanks, both of you. Next, please. Oh, I'm sorry. There was a request for people with small children or people with disabilities that can come up and speak. I'm sorry, I forgot to do that at the outset. We often do that when there are especially evening hearings. So anyone with a disability or who's got either kids here or kids you've got to get home to because they're in daycare to, in order for you to be here, come on up. Good evening.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Most people that have been following this agree with you that we have to fix our streets. I live on 74th and Division, so it's very close to 82nd Street. And anything east of 82nd Street is in terrible shape. Everybody is in agreement with you on that. And we do not argue with the audit, and we do not argue that we have to raise somewhere around $50 million a year more in order to catch up. And it will take us a while to catch up. All of that is not in debate. Here's what's in debate. We don't trust you. We haven't gotten an answer of what you did with the original amount of money for transportation and who you held accountable for that. You keep saying you have no money. And you'd say, well, okay, the gas tax, we spend a lot of our time telling people not to drive, and the gas tax drops because people aren't driving. Okay, so you really need to step it up with the state and get the state to raise this gas tax. Everybody's in agreement with that. So we need you to lead the charge, and we need to support you doing that. I think that our legislators and our representatives, at least mine, would not have a problem raising the taxes if we can fix our streets. The second problem you have is the vote of the people. An advisory vote is toilet paper. That's what it is. It's useless. Unless you have to go to the bathroom. You have to tell the people, this is what we have, this is what we need, vote on it, and give us your okay. If you do this advisory thing and you list out six things, first of all, people are going to look at the ballot and think that what they vote on is going to pass. That's what they're going to think. But that's not going to happen. It's going to come back to you guys. And unless you'd vote all 600,000, and two of you have made it very clear that you will not accept any program unless the vote of the people has happened. And I know there's tremendous pressure on you. And the reason that I was smiling when I came in is this is great drama for a political animal. Because I know there's terrible pressure on two commissioners over here because one commissioner has already said she's out of it. And I think you know who I'm talking about when I say she.
Kind of narrows it down. Thanks, Joe.
My last suggestion is on the list of things that you put down, whether it's a gas tax or a property tax, put down, should the people vote on this? That will be number one.
Thanks, Joe. All right, next.
The next three are Terry Parker, Harry Sampson, and I believe it's Betty A. Solchka, maybe?
Okay, come on up.
And they'll be followed by Dorothy Rowland, Kim Marks, and Nishant Bajara.
I think you're on first, Mr. Parker.
Good evening. My name is Terry Parker. I live in Northeast Portland, and I'm going to deviate from my written testimony to some degree. What we have here is a failure to communicate. Any additional taxation that links a street fee to an individual's gasoline usage is double-dipping from the people that already pay while exempting the people that don't. Transit fares do not help pay for the heavy damage TriMet buses do to city streets, and funding bicycle infrastructure is for the most part siphoned off or poached from gas tax revenues. The bicycles themselves act like kamikaze pilots, seemingly coming out of nowhere, weaving in and out of traffic, interchangeably using the sidewalk and the street to evade traffic control devices. PBOT advisory and budget committees are stacked extras representing the alternative mode, stuffed with bicycle advocates and the manipulative "I want, I want, I want, you pay" approach to bicycle safety. Instead of just representing the special interests, when are you going to end the discriminatory social engineering and start representing the primary financial stakeholders, the people who by driving comprise 80% of the trips in Portland metro area and already pay transportation taxes, thereby contributing to the economy? Promoting one less driver is promoting one less transportation taxpayer. This is an equity issue, not a mode issue. Sharing the road must require sharing the financial responsibility. I have said it before and I will say it again. Bicycles are not royalty. If you are going to ask the public for an advisory vote, now is the time to ask the public as a whole if adult bicyclists should pay license user and or license and registration fees as part of a total funding package, not a standalone package. And I don't think any money should be spent on bicycle infrastructure until this takes place and until they start showing safety themselves as they ride today. After any proposed advisory vote, any proposed street fee must still end up with an up or down vote by the people. If the answer is an income tax or an income-like tax, it must have a 99.9% collection rate. The final outcome of any new funding method must also have a goal of financial self-sustainability for the alternative modes, coupled with a better balance of priorities. These priorities must include motor vehicle infrastructure, capacity, and parking improvements as opposed to road diets, a transparent prerequisite of motorist equity that includes a proportionate representation on PBOT committees, and the premise that motorist-paid taxes and fees are no longer used as an ATM to pay for alternative infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
My name is Betty Salaga. I have observed this whole process and read every piece of paper that's been published. I think this whole process has been a terrible shame, and the residents of Portland have been totally disrespected in this. Throwing one new plan, one scheme here, one scheme there, it's really been a farce. And this advisory vote is adding more on to that. It's comical. And we don't deserve this. We deserve to have our streets in repair. And you had the money and you squandered it for years. Why do we have to come up with the money now? We've asked at various town halls and meetings, when is the city going to look at the city's budget? Where are you going to take some money out of the city's budget and put it on these streets? There's a $4 billion budget. Is that correct about?
If you count all the different budgets. But again, we're here to ask you what you're for tonight.
Well, I'm for the city. I'm for the city having some skin in the game. I'm for the city. In fact, you just put out a press release today or yesterday that was telling the bureaus that they needed to think before they asked for new programs because they couldn't fund all of the new programs. Well, let's just put those programs on hold for a couple of years. The barber project does not need to be done right now. Any other light rail does not need to be done right now. It's just your preference. So why don't you just put some things on hold, let some streets get repaired, and put some money up for this? Why do the citizens have to pay for this again? My property taxes are in excess of $8,000. They go up every year now, $1,500. Portland Public Schools will have a new bond measure coming up that will add another $2 to that per assessed value. So I just think that the citizens deserve a good look in the budget of where you can take some money and put it toward this.
Thank you. Well, as I mentioned, you'll have the opportunity to look at that budget extensively over the next several months while we open the books and prepare to adopt the budget for next year.
But you didn't say you would look at it.
Well, of course I look at it. It's my job. But
well, but you didn't say that.
Well, of course we will. We spend hours and hours and hours on the budget in my office, believe me.
Then we haven't heard anything from you about what you think can be used, what you think can be reduced.
Well, you'll see that, as always, in the budget. It's a big budget.
But just as a clarification, the general fund is $400 million about. So that when you talk about $4 billion, most of that is, or much of that is things like water and sewer and all those kinds
right.
of things.
But we all know that you all made exceptions, or some of you did when you were voting for all of Randy's cockamamie things, that you made exceptions. You made exceptions and took money from anywhere and everywhere to buy things we didn't need.
Right.
But the whole general fund is $400 million. More than half of that goes to police and fire. So that's where the bulk of the money goes to. But please participate, because we do have an extensive budget process, and we welcome more eyes looking for those hidden pots of money that we haven't yet found.
And actually, ma'am, hardly anybody ever comes to the budget hearings asking that we cut something. Usually people are asking for more money for something. So it would be an interesting change of pace to have anybody come to the budget hearings saying to cut anything.
Well, why don't you all say no?
Well, we often do. So, again, I want to give you that opportunity. And, again, one thing I guess I hope you would remember is for the five of us who are here now, regardless of how the money was spent in the past, we don't get to revisit the past. We get to do it right now, and you get to tell us what right means. So look at our budget, tell us what to cut, and tell us what you'd like to spend more on. And on this particular subject, tell us what you'd like your fellow citizens to look at over the next couple weeks. Thank you. Good evening.
Yes, this is important. People came down to this meeting. Before the meeting, we weren't told there's going to be a limitation what we could talk about. That's censorship. And it's important that we know when you do the streets that you're not going to be wasting money having some people come out waiting to do their work. How do we know what streets they're going to do? How do we know you're not going to, make cuts in the city budget? You're saying the bicycle wouldn't raise money, much money. That's true. But that'd be safety, too. If they have license plates on the bicycles, there'll be less bicycles stolen. Now, it still would help on the streets. You need to cut your budget. Nothing has been said about the budget. This is a meeting you're getting the people to go to. As Novak says, budget meeting, not many people are going to. This is where we're coming to. And I think it's 100% wrong when you don't believe in the United States. It's a choice of the people. How many people are here coming down saying we want it voted on, period? And I've called people up and said that's the freedom of the United States, the people's choice. While all these people are saying is voting on and needs to be voted on and needs to be voted on. You can't elect a name one official you collect that's going to do everything the people want. That's why we're having meetings, and you're ignoring the people saying, we want it voted on. You listened to news once when you were speaking. You said the street tax would be voted on. You didn't say that it didn't count. It was count. So the people are saying it needs to be voted on, and it's about time you commissioners know that's the price of freedom. When you get enough people down here assisting on and being voted on, you shouldn't question us, put it up for a vote. We live in the United States of freedom. How much money is spent overseas to fight for freedom? And you are taking it away from us. In your regular meetings, do you get as many people coming as for this street tax? No. That shows they want it voted on, and it's time you listen to us. I've called up Fritz's office and others and say, why aren't you listening to the majority of the people that want it voted on? No response. It's a shame that you're doing that. That's taken away our freedom. And for you to announce there what we could talk on, that was not said in the paper. It was going to be a meeting on the street tax. Nothing that we have to limit what we talk on.
Well, we're here about what you want to pay for and how you want to pay for it.
Well, the thing is, the work, you need to take money out of other things, like sweaters downtown, $114,000. Okay. Well, for our businesses, other neighborhood needs businesses. Sweaters was donated. It wasn't advertised. Money down the drain.
Okay, thank you very much.
And you need to listen to the people now.
Thank you. Okay, next, please.
The next three are Dorothy Rowland, Kim Marks, and Nishant Bajaria.
Good evening, Ms. Rowland. I think you're first.
Good evening, Mayor, President of the Council, Commissioners.
Just put your name into the record, too, please.
Oh, thank you. My name is Dorothy Rowland. I live in Southeast Portland. I'm a homeowner, and I'm retired. And I'm glad you mentioned the audit at the beginning of this meeting, Mayor. I wasn't aware of the audit, and it's helpful to know what it says about us being behind in street maintenance. It's really discouraging and scary. And like everybody in this room, I know about the problems with the streets just because I try to drive my car. And there are lots of potholes, et cetera. I want to just say positive things tonight because I know that you all work really hard. And you just put yourselves on the line, and you do that for the people of Portland. But I can't say just positive things tonight because I'm not comfortable with the way that the existing revenues are being prioritized for spending. I'm just not convinced that a new tax or a new fee needs to be levied on Portlanders in order to fix the streets. I think that our existing revenues can be budgeted better. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And again, I want to encourage you to take a look not only at the audit but at the budget when the proposed budget comes out. Take a look and give us your advice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming out.
You're welcome. Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Kel Marks. I live in Southeast Portland on 130th just off of Powell Boulevard. I came here tonight prepared to speak about the way that the funds would be used, so I'm speaking a bit off the cuff. But however, before I do that, I want to kind of contradict or at least address one of the previous statements by one of the earlier speakers. If I had $1,000 for every time that a car, a driver, almost hit me and almost killed me, your budget problem would be solved. So it's not just a case of bike riders or pedestrians. There are people who drive who have just as many issues with their following the laws. Now, as for the modality, thank you, Commissioner Novick, for making sure that safety projects have been a major part of this discussion. I came here again tonight to speak to that issue, and I hope that it maintains its position as it's been proposed as a major part of whatever is out ultimately developed as this proposal. As for the type of way that we would draw revenue, I have expressed before and I'll express today, I am in favor of a progressive income tax. Gas taxes and user fees and even property taxes are regressive taxes. People who can afford to pay for these services need to pay for these services. People who are on limited incomes, people who are working for $9.15 an hour, cannot afford to be nickeled and dimed with user fees or gas taxes. That is a significant portion of their budgets on a monthly basis. They cannot afford it. The people who can afford it should be paying for these services. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor. Nishant Bajaria, Portland, Oregon. My proposal in terms of what the ballot should look like would be an extra line that tells people if you support none of the options the city gives you, what would you have us cut? Because if the idea is that we're tallying votes for what people want to use, if people don't support any of your options, ask them what would you cut in the existing budget? Because I don't buy the premise of your question that somehow we got to come up with new revenue. And I just did some homework before coming down here, and I found out that the PBOT chief, Leah Treat, her annual salary is more than $170,000. I called up Chicago, Mayor Emanuel's office. Their transportation commissioner makes $169,500. Chicago has four times the population of Portland, four times, if not more. They have more mileage in terms of the roads they cover. They have active public transportation. It makes no sense to me that their transportation commissioner should make less than ours. There's a position open right now on the City of Portland website for a communication specialist. At the high end, that job would pay $100,000. That's 2.5 times the national median. Why the City of Portland needs to hire yet another communications person that makes $100,000 is beyond me. And I know I've talked about this before, Mayor, but I don't think I can trust you with handling my tax dollars properly after that trip you took to the resort at Mount Hood. You could have had that training in town. That was a diversity training for white men in the city of Portland. I'm not questioning the need for that training. You know, this is a complicated society of ours. Things happen. You could have had that training in town. You could have had that training in City Hall. You could have stayed in a hotel. You could have bought food from restaurants in town that would have helped the local economy. There was no need to go to a luxury resort. I guarantee you, families sitting wondering how they're going to make yet another tax payment to the city are wondering, why does the mayor need to go to a resort for a training that could have happened downtown? So when I look at your priorities, I don't know how much of this new revenue would be used to fix our streets. It's more a question of if the past has not been perfect at all or has not been ideal, how is this new money going to be used? The other issue that I have had is the explanation for why this cannot be sent to a vote has kept on changing. And now when you actually put something to a vote, again, it's not binding, which means people could say pretty much what they want to and you could come back and do something totally different. I don't understand how you can treat citizens that way. At some point, there needs to be a hard level of accountability where if people say this is not okay, it's not okay. And if that means we live with bad streets, we live with bad streets. But what you're doing right now is asking people for more money, and that means you never have to make any choices about what to cut. Let's try cutting something. Let's cut funds from the streetcar. Let's see if people desire it. Let's cut funding from someplace else. Let's see what people say. Let's force that choice, and then let's make those choices. But asking for more revenue is a cop-out, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, I want to encourage you to come to the budget hearings, look at the budget, and tell us what to cut.
I want to make sure you have other options as well. Don't just depend upon me. Let's ask the whole city.
All ideas are welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next three.
Are Ann Sanderson, Bob Clark, and Rick Bartko. And they'll be followed by John Cronin, Teresa Kishi Soto, and Jim Carlock.
Good evening. Go ahead, Ms. Sanderson.
Good evening. Okay. About my fifth time here, I think I'm getting a little more practice. My name is Ann Sanderson. I'm a small business owner, and I'm the head of Stop Portland Street Fee. So let me get this straight. 9 months ago, you do a telephone survey. You ask 800 people what they want to do to fund their streets, and you come up with what you decide is the least unpopular. That didn't work, so we saw version after version after version. And here we are, fast forward, and now you want to poll the entire city to find out what the least unpopular thing is. It's no way to govern, and it's no way to lead. It's no way to treat the people either. We've been in this since the very beginning with you. We've tried to have our say. We've tried to help you. I sat on a work group all summer, and yet we're still going back to ask on a survey, and a very expensive one at that. At one point, you said that it was too expensive to fight a campaign and send it out to the voters for an up-and-down vote, and yet it's okay to spend all that money on a survey. It doesn't fly. So you want to know what these options should be, and I'm going to suggest that you don't do anything you've already suggested. We've seen them. We've vetted them. The devil was in the details, and we're done with them. If you have some new suggestions, that's great. Apparently, you're polling us again to find out what you should suggest. But don't go with the ones that you've tried. We've already seen them. And I'm going to suggest, for my part, that we want to see none of the above. Because when it comes down to this, it is the one in choice that would make sense for a lot of us. It's not that I'm anti-tax, as you've once suggested. It's I'm anti-bad tax. And every time you have a suggestion, when we get down to the details, we find out that it's not very good at all. So until you come up with something that actually works, then I suspect that we should vote none of the above. Thank you.
So you don't have a suggestion for something that would actually raise revenue, because obviously none of the above wouldn't.
No, not to raise revenue, but all the things you've suggested so far haven't flown in the details. I think that I've been in there, right in there with you, with criteria that you could to use to decide what works or not works, but now you're punting, and punting's not good enough from a leader.
Well, actually, for 14 years, the city of Portland has done nothing on this subject, and now we're looking for something, and we're asking you, if you're willing, to suggest what revenue you would like to raise.
I spent my summer taking days off of work, sitting on a work group that would you... I'm going to tell you something. When we come in here and you say we can only speak to this narrow focus of topic that we didn't prepare for, that was like the whole summer. You only want to hear what you want to hear. And we're talking to you and we're giving you suggestions. And I had a list of criteria at the beginning of the summer. I didn't bring it with me today because I've said it already. No one heard me then, and you don't hear me now.
Okay, well, please send them because we're looking for measures that might make a difference.
I know.
Thank you. Good evening.
Hi, Bob Clark, Southeast Portland. I volunteer for the Taxpayer Association of Oregon. I would hope that this public advisory vote would ask the question, the ballot question would be, should city refer this such and such tax to voters for a vote or approval? And because the gasoline tax by state law has to be referred to the people to be enacted.
So is that the mechanism you recommend, is the gas tax?
I prefer the gasoline tax because there's an existing administrative function, organization at the state of Oregon that already takes care of this administrative task of this, I believe, reading the legislation.
And now we don't have a hard estimate yet, but it may be that in order to raise, say, $20 million, that a city-only gas tax might have to be about 20 cents a gallon.
Yeah,
so
I think...
Would you support a tax at that level?
No. That's too much. You're asking maybe for too much. I would ask that you also consider using the general fund surplus you have projected for this year for all the street. That would get you $19 million. That'd be quite a...
Right. Some of that's actually, one time, right.
Actually, Mayor,
it's one time.
I think it's a little better than that. I think it's in the range of 13 cents, depending in part on whether the county, which we have an IGA with the county, which says that we're supposed to give them 20% of whatever we raise. We might be able to convince them to waive that.
Okay, so 13 cents.
Okay, I think 10 cents I could support.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
No, we'll
and
we'll
especially
get
now the gasoline prices are coming down.
Right, it's come down by about $1 a gallon.
So, and that should have actually helped you on the cost of asphalt, I would think.
Yes, it will.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So your targets should have come down, but we haven't seen that.
No, it will help.
I also liked the original proposal, the user fee. I was hoping for a $5 to $6 range, and that would be attached to your water bill, and that would be administratively easy again. Because the problem with the income taxes, besides being invasive to the filers, is that you're going to be spending a lot on administrative costs, like 15 new staff members I saw, and you're going to have a lot of collection failure. So you're targeting $23 million in gross, but you're maybe going to get something a lot less than $20
million. Bob, can I ask you a question? You said that your preference would